Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Jackie Schwab, your reluctant ringmaster, and Miss Marty Hannon, your world changer, hostesses of the Caregiving Talk Show. Today is Thursday, December 6th, and this is the Caregiving Circus Talk Show. We help you connect with the resources, tools, and support that you need to participate in the greatest show on earth, your life. Together, we work to equip, educate, and empower families and professionals who provide care. Join us as we give practical and factual tips on how to manage your own three-wing circus, topics ranging from autism to Alzheimer's and everything in between. Join us weekly as we figure out how to have fun and stay sane while juggling lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. And today, we will be talking about the holidays. Woohoo! How you doing with those holidays, Marty?
What else is there to talk about in December? I mean, really?
Right? Like nothing else exists. So I got a funny, so speaking of the holidays and gift giving and family visits. So I think I told you my grandmother passed recently, which is a sad story. And this is our first year without Gran, but Pops is still around and Pops isn't really a big fan of the whole holiday thing. He's just like, oh, great. We're going to go to the family event. So everyone's trying to help him. Exactly. So everyone's trying to help Pops like enjoy this holiday, right? So we're starting with the group text thing, which is, I'm just going to tell you, drives me banana pants, right? This giant group text. There are 9 kids with spouses, all with like 9 kids each. So, cause we're Catholic, you know, we procreate. And so, so I get like this text. I don't know who like 80% of the people on this long text.
Oh my gosh.
Because I don't call anybody anymore because, you know, 2018 and all. And so if they want to buy him a fridge, a refrigerator,
well, as a Christmas nice gift.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay.
Not a fun gift, but a practical gift.
It's very practical, right? Practical and factual. But it's like the weirdest scenario because I'm getting like, hey, look, I saw this thing on Facebook. It was for a fridge for $5. I'm like, I bet it cost $5. And then someone else is like, I found this one on Thumbtack or whatever. There's all these things I haven't even heard of now. And I'm like, guys, I don't know if you know this, but we can like go get an old dude fridge like from the actual store for like $150 bucks. Like, and but our family doesn't roll that way. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever actually been into a retail store and paid full price or anything. So I'm like, that's why we're buying Grandpa a fridge again. This will literally be the 4th refrigerator I have helped purchase with my grandfather. Yeah, I'm like, we should really not be doing this on Facebook. I'm just saying. I don't know. So that's my intro to the holidays. Group texts and refrigerators.
Group texts drive me crazy because then it's just like people are responding all throughout the day and you just keep getting ding, ding, ding. And I have to turn off my phone so that I stop getting ding.
And then I'm lost. I'm like, so since we are talking about family visits and holidays.
Yes, we are. Family communication and
So events. Here's the other great one with the family texting, since we're talking about visits. The family visits potluck text group text. Have you had this yet? Yeah. So it's our family all eat like in mass quantities of, and everyone brings one dish. So it's like, it's like a fight to be the person that gets to bring the green bean casserole because it takes like no effort. And like the ham or like the turkey is literally like the last thing. And then you've got like 2 or 3 people seeing if like they'll go in on it together. I just don't even know what to do with this. Okay. I'll buy the turkey, guys. I swear. It's okay.
I know. I thought that you said you wouldn't probably have to do such a big family gathering this year, so they've changed their mind,
huh? Until I got on the refrigerator group text, I was like, all right, so we're back at it. Let's go.
Forget that vision in a quiet Christmas with your family. Now it's the craziness has begun. It's like, how do you reclaim that, your vision of what it's supposed to be?
I just don't go. I'm kind of a jerk like that. I'm like, here's $50.
Here's
buy a map of fridge. See you later.
Here's your turkey. Have fun baking it. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think you have to figure it out. So of that kind of the family visits thing, so one of the biggest scenarios a lot of people are faced with, especially those with caregiving for adult, for family, but pretty much anyone who's a married couple, is whose family wins this year, right? So, like, what do you do for Thanksgiving? Is it your husband's place or your place? What do you do for Christmas? And does someone get Christmas Eve? Does someone get Christmas Day? When do you actually get your own Christmas Day that you don't have to do anything else?
And then what happens is one family is really good about planning, and then another in-law, the other people are terrible at planning, so they never get back to you until last minute, and then how do you arrange all that?
Right, and then you're like a big turkey face, right? That nobody loves you because you're like, dude, like you asked me like Christmas Eve if we're coming on Christmas Eve. Like, no. We're not coming. So here's
all
our
stretch. Well, everyone else is going to be here. You got to come.
Yeah, like maybe I don't like them either. No, I'm just kidding. That's not fair. I love all my family. They're all fun. So what do you, we have a strategy. So it's worked for quite a few years. Now it's probably going to change up, right? Because our family situation has changed up. And I don't know how it ended this way, but my husband's family, they do like Christmas Eve upright. Like it's their big shindig. And since, you know, they do so well at it, we do Christmas Eve there every year. And then Christmas Day, I know, right? Because mom always makes good food and brings gifts. It's like fantastic. And then Christmas Day was always my family, quote unquote, which is my mom, my grandma, and everybody, and we all go there. But our situation could have been very complicated because I have four stepdads. And a couple of them live. Yeah, talk about complicated, right? A bunch of them live here-ish. And then my mom's not really doing all that well. And now my husband's mom is Parkinson's and my mom isn't doing well at all. My grandma passed away. So this year we've got to like rejoin the circus and figure out what are we going to do?
What are traditions going to look like moving forward?
Exactly. So I think that was kind of the big thought I was thinking when we were talking about family visits is tradition is great. I mean, I love it. And certainly just even the idea of repeated traditions makes things easier for our Zoe, who's very routine based, but sometimes traditions do have to change. Like the family visit, you know, brigade has to change for practical and factual reasons. Like my mother-in-law is not in a good place where she can like host everything anymore, you know, it's not going to work. And so last year she still had it at her house, but we all came and helped prepare. And that worked out just fine. This year, we got invited to the family event through a refrigerator group text, so I'm not really sure how that's going to go. And my husband's mom, we sort of just earmarked like Christmas Eve as theirs, and if that means we're hosting or they're hosting or someone else's, we just will roll with it just because that particular day, there's not going to be a lot of them left, right? Like my grandmother's situation kind of pointed out, pretty large.
Right.
But I think it's hard for families. Like when is their traditions? When do they get to be their own family? Or in like your case, what if they don't, what if it would be more healthy for them and more enjoyable not to be in the middle of the circus with everyone else? So I want to talk about coping.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. You want to talk about the coping?
I just want to think of some, like, what have we done, both of us, because we both have pretty much every scenario, I think, in the universe between the two of us and our caregiving stuff. What can we arm people with as ways to get, I almost feel like it's getting through the holidays. I'd love them to like have amazing, thriving holiday, but sometimes we're just trying not to die. So like, how do we help people not jump during Christmas? So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's that survival really. And if you can find moments of joy in the middle of it, right? That's mm-hmm. the key. But yeah, I agree. I think coping skills, stress coping skills for the holidays is one of the number one things that need to be focused on in people's minds. You know, and it's the last thing. It's just trying to survive and get through and trying to make everybody happy. And in the meantime, you are so stressed out beyond belief and you're feeling guilty all over the place. So it is important that we talk about what are some coping mechanisms, what are some strategies to be able to help yourself through it. And I think the biggest thing here is being realistic on what is attainable. We talked about that last week. What is really doable for you as an individual and your family? What makes sense? And then keeping your thoughts within that realm and then setting those boundaries around your family very firmly, saying, I'm willing to meet with you on these times, and why don't we get together after Christmas? Or so that way you have the space you need to be able to do the self-care, to be able to take care of your family, because ultimately this is just a month. It's and we're going to get through it, but it's so intense and so stressful. We have to come up with those strategies. So what has worked for you?
So one of the things related and now being used as a helping us through the holidays sort of scenario. My husband and I went out to lunch yesterday, which was really nice. And we had a conversation kind of about these topics. And I felt it go back to that place it always goes, right? You know, when you ever have those kind of repeated difficult conversations where it's the kids should help more. We shouldn't spend so much money on the holidays. Like, it's that whole thing, right?
Yeah. We shouldn't be running everywhere.
Why are we, running out and getting St. Nick gifts on a Wednesday night in the middle of the, freezing cold at 10 o'clock because we forget every year? And so I was like, let's hold on a sec. Just bear with me here, dear. It's like, what do we want the outcome of these experiences to be?
Yes.
I don't think we think about that anymore. And not in like the, oh, the good old days, this or any of that. Just life gets away from us and busy. And we kind of just go on autopilot and try to do as best we can, not to make anyone mad, not to hurt anyone's feelings, not to feel guilty, not to feel this, not that. But what if we stopped for a minute and thought, what do I want?
Yeah, what's that priority?
Experience, during this day. And I bet people would look at it differently. Because I know my mother-in-law, she's a very, very spiritual, religious woman. And I could tell you right now, if all she got to do was go to Mass on Christmas Eve with the family, you would make her millennium. Like, that would be enough for her to be happy for the next 6 months. And because for her, it's the outcome. She wants that connection to her faith. My best experience in a holiday, I just love when we come down the stairs with the Christmas light on the tree and the kids see presents there and their faces just light up bigger than the tree. I just think that's like my moment. I love that.
My face is lightening up while you're talking about it. I have a big grin on my face picturing it.
Yeah, it's lovely. And you know what? And it didn't even matter if there are four gifts under the tree, because we have four kids, hopefully each get one, right? Or 4,000. They just love coming down and seeing the tree lit up and seeing little gifts under there. And especially the little ones, like their whole body just, like, they do funny little Santa Claus dances and jiggle around. And my one kid starts doing like backflips. It's just crazy. And that's the experience like that I want. And so I had to sit down and think, what if I go to the refrigerator event this year, right? I will miss that chance to see my kids' faces light up. And so which one's more worth it?
Yeah.
Is it better to see the joy or avoid the pain or avoid the guilt? And I'm going to pick this year. I'm picking seeing because their faces aren't going to stay that long. I'm picking seeing the little faces, and we can go show up at the refrigerator family thing, in the afternoon and make our, obligatory appearance because, you know, we're not jerks or anything, and put our $12.08, because that's apparently what it's broken down to by a person on the text message, to the kitty for Grandpa's gift. And we kind of could go from there. But yeah, we have a very big family. And that's just the grown-ups, so, you know. And the people who've chosen to participate based on their family priorities. But that's the one I'm really working on. I mean, you can't, like, change a lot of habits in your life or all of the bad things you've ever done or all of the things that aren't working. I'm just trying to stop and go, okay, I'm feeling some tension here or some conflict or some, you know, ill at ease. What do I want the outcome of this to be?
Yeah.
And
it's to really
how do I get there?
Build on those memories, create those experiences. You know, really most of the big family gatherings, how much of it do you really remember? It's more those cherished moments with your kids that are the most important piece.
Right. And then you know what, the big family ones, you remember like the moments with the small, with somebody in specific, like the whole, my grandmother's side of the family. I always love going because my grandma is the cutest lady in the whole world. And that swears like a sailor, which is a really weird combination, but she will sit down and every year, every kid, every grandkid, every child, grandma always gets a gift. So grandma's getting like 418 gifts, right?
Oh,
like everybody else gets like one. And it is the coolest thing. She turned into like a 3-year-old every year. And she would start giggling and laughing and throw an F-bomb in once in a while. And it was just, it was adorable. It was the most amazing thing. Now that I'm going for, right? That I'm showing up for. Let's see if Grandma Swears is here. But I don't remember the other 4 hours of just hanging out with this uncle or this aunt or this cousin or whatever. Most of it's like a couple moments. And I think it's just switching to a life of intentional living. What's your intention out of it?
I feel like that when I look back at those big holiday celebrations when I was a kid, I think I referenced it last week. The craziness, the chaos, lots of people. There was a joy to it and a connectedness to it. And I don't remember a lot from it other than feeling that joy and knowing there'd always be a huge family fight at some point. And that my mom would then go off storming off to her room because, you know, she was furious at my brothers or furious at my dad or somebody made her upset and really put her over the edge. But ultimately, it was that connection where we'd start seeing Christmas carols together, or we would, my dad would always get out the Bible and read the Christmas story from Luke to us.
Aww.
And it was so beautiful. And we'd have a fire in the fireplace, even though it's California and it would be hot outside and we'd have to open the windows. roast inside. But you know, those are the special connections that made it so beautiful. I think it gets more difficult the more spread out the family gets, and then it is like, okay, where do I spend my time? You know, for instance, my family, I have two brothers in California, and then they each have kids, and their kids now have kids. And my dad and his wife live in Texas. And then I have another brother in Colorado. Again, he has kids and their kids have kids. And then my sister lives here in Chicagoland near me. And every family has their now extended piece of the family. They have their grandchildren, each of my siblings. And so for me, it's been like, okay, now where I've always been tucked into my sister's family, but there comes a point where it's just like, that needs to be their special holiday tradition. And what is best for me? What is most meaningful to me? And that's what I've had to come to terms with, like we talked about last week, is looking at what am I going to do this holiday season that's going to be bring it into the place I want? And I want it to be a reflective, peaceful time with the Lord. That's what I want. And so for me, it's saying no to events. It's saying no to parties. And giving myself grace and permission to do that and choose not to feel guilty about it and release it. Be like, I need to do what's best for me in this situation. Sometimes that's okay. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do some nice journaling, probably some painting or some creative work, and maybe attend church or something. But for me, it's all about the faith connection, and nothing else matters. The gifts, you know, the gifts are, they're lovely. Now, we did just get a Christmas tree, my roommate and I, and we're kind of financially strapped right now, but she messaged me yesterday and was just like, hey, there's this cute tree, live tree, $30. Would you be willing to go in $15? I'm like, oh, no. And then I'm like, really, $15 for holiday traditions, Marty? I mean, for crying out loud. She came home with a beautiful Christmas tree. It smells so nice. And now I'm starting to feel the holiday spirit around here. And I'm going to start decorating tonight. So I think a little bit in there is going to bring some joy. But yeah, it's that intentionality that you mentioned before.
Yeah, and I think I get it too for like us as a parent. Like I'm a mom, and I think moms struggle with, but I have kids, so you know, I have to make it all about the kids. And I would, I caution that as well, because this year, it's probably going to talk about how bad of a person I feel like I am over it, but it was good. I'm just not a big tree decorator. I'm not a big Christmas person. I'm not a humbug. I just, like, I don't get it. Like, I don't, it's just not very practical to me. It's just like a weird thing. But so I was out of town.
And the tree and the magic, the pretty lights done. Yeah. I'm always like, oh, this is so pretty.
Right. Well, this year, my husband's really into decorating, and the kids all love it. And I'm kind of a goober, right? I'm, like, there, but I'm not, like, very nice or whatever. So I was out of town, and they decorated the tree while I was gone. And I got home, and it was, like, so beautiful. And they had an amazing time doing it. For 2 seconds, I was like, oh, they did it without me. And then I was like, oh, they did it without me. Woo! You know?
So, I had to go through that.
Yeah, and I think that, like, forgetting, too, though, that the holiday, not even just the holiday, but every day, it does have to be somewhat about you, because if you're curmudgeon-y, like I clearly was, it affects them too. So what experience do I want my kids to have around decorating a tree? I really don't want them to feel like I feel, right? But I still feel that way. And I love that my husband was like, let's see if we can make this work without mommy having a bad day and the kids not enjoying the fence, like the tree. No,
that
probably
again.
It's
going to go out of town. You guys are going to decorate.
Exactly. That's our new holiday tradition until something changes.
Well,
but it was really nice. Go ahead.
Oh, I think for me, it was a similar feeling that you were talking about, where you kind of for a split second felt like, oh, well, I wanted to be part of that, and they did that without me. I can relate to that, but it's more like, over the years, I've wanted to be included in family traditions, right? I want to be invited. I want to participate, but yet it's a miserable experience for me once I do, and then I make other people miserable. So now it's like, okay, what is the choice we're going to make? What's best for everybody? And that's the same thing where, you know, it's my Thanksgiving. I did it on my own and had a lovely time and did go out to dinner with some friends, but I chose to celebrate it my way, and my family and I, we discussed it ahead of time, and there was sadness, like, oh, well, you know, I should go to that. I mean, this is sad. Family should be all together. But ultimately, I felt free. It felt really good to do something different.
Yeah. And, you know, you actually made a good point that I wanted to try to remember to do, say. It's not about, like, remember, both of us felt like for a moment, like, oh, I want to be included. But it wasn't really, for me, it was a conscious thought, and then it was fleeting. And here's where I think it was. It's a habit to think you wanted to be included. And as soon as I went, wait a minute, not really. I literally had a habit thought that it was like, you don't even believe that. Why did you think that? The guilt feeling was a habit. Like I was like, oh, I should have wanted that. Why? You don't. Like you can't make yourself have a feeling. You can make yourself have thoughts that you can reach. But like,
so
I can't
true.
Go like, I want to be really excited. I can fake excitement, but I cannot make excitement, right? I mean, it's a thing. And so I thought, wow, some of these traditions are so ingrained that we lie to ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest takeaway is just to really rethink anything. Like, nothing is the way it always has to be. And if it's not working for you, there's a reason. And maybe get away from how it's always done or how we do it or even the traditions or any of that and just say, how do I want to experience this moment or this holiday, the day, whatever the word is for it, and then build something around that feeling versus, you know, the other way around. And when it involves other people, like we're all in this together, right? It's not just me having a holiday. It's a big deal with Zoe, but, you know, really us thinking about and considering Zoe's feelings, because she's so empathetic, it was better that I wasn't there, because my little commodity juice goes over onto her, and once we get her upset, you know, inadvertently, she didn't ruin the day, I did. Like, I started out with the grumpy pants and, you know, lent her my grumpy pants, and the next thing you know, like, I've ruined Christmas decorating for everybody.
Right,
so,
right.
So it, in thinking of ourselves and what will make us feel good, happy, safe, whatever, a lot of times we would be best to think about how that affects others and might surprise ourselves, I guess is my thought.
It's interesting because that can go in so many different directions. You know, you think of the single mom and she says, well, I have to make it good for my kids, you know, and there's so many different situations out there, the caregiving situation. And so the person's like, well, I have to think about the person I'm providing care for. This may be their last holiday. It needs to be about them, right? And ultimately, the goal is that there's this connection and that it's a special moment. And the only way you're going to have that special moment is if you have some peace and you've released something that a burden that was causing you a huge amount of stress.
Right.
And being willing to say, what is that one piece that if I have this one connection, it will all be okay. It won't matter if nothing else turns out the way I wanted it to. I will be okay if I just see their smiling faces come down the, you know, down the stairs. Or I will be okay if I just have some quality journaling time and I feel really close to God. You know, it's different for every person, but what is that basic need that you have for this holiday? And if you get that, can you let go of the rest of the burden if it doesn't turn out the way you want to?
And you made two good points there too. Like if the single mom and the parent who maybe their last Christmas or holiday, and maybe the right answer for you is to give up other things to be with them. That's still a right answer for you. And that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
You can still do for you by doing for others. Thinking of yourself may actually mean that you deeply want to spend that moment in that connection, right? It could,
absolutely.
That's perfectly fine as well.
Yeah.
So,
and it's releasing things that may be weighing on you. It's finding that space in saying, okay, it is my most important priority to be with mom right now, in her possibly final Christmas. And I'm just going to spend as much quiet time with her as I can so we can have those meaningful connections. And, that's the whole thing, is being intentional. Yeah. Where are we on time? I feel like it's already
at
the
end. I was about to say, like, just to wrap it up, we're about 60 seconds before the show ends. I know, good timing with you. So next week, we're going to get together for one more week of talking about the Christmas holiday, and we'll be talking about gifts, practical gifts for the caregivers in your life, purposeful, fun, and meaningful moments during the holidays, and anything you would like to say to kind of wrap things up, Ms. Marty?
Yeah, I'm real excited for next week. I'm going to be doing a blog post this week with links for recommendations we're going to be talking about next week and how to adapt games and create those purposeful moments. So it will be a lot of fun.
Great. So everyone visit worldchangerconsulting.com because there'll be some links to games there and blog posts, give you some ideas of what we're going to be talking about next week. All right. Well, thank you. Have a great day.
Right,
we'll talk to you next week, Ms. Marty. Bye, everybody.
Bye.